Welcome to In Our Mom's Basement Video Game Podcast, where we talk about everything video games with your host, Dan Giofue and Rage Quit Pat.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 47 of In Our Mom's Basement Podcast, where you can listen to this podcast, of course, on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify. I am the master of all rages. I am Rage Quit Pat, and I am joined by the man who loves a good slice of pizza every single day of his life, Dan the Pizza Man. Let's welcome him back. The last podcast, he was unfortunately eating too much pizza. He had to go to the dentist, but he is doing okay. Dan, how are you?
Good. I do like pizza, but not every day, even though it would be a dream to eat pizza every day. But yeah, good. It's almost Friday, so it's even better.
It is almost Friday. We are also going to the movies later tonight. We are going to be seeing Knives Out. Very excited. And Jade, how are you? Welcome. And it is almost the end of 2019. There is only one more episode of the podcast of the year, which is in the next about 2 weeks or so. It is our Game Awards. So we're going to be previewing that for a little bit today, but we're also going to be kind of discussing a little bit some of the highlights of 2019, some of the big news. Of course, we'll have a nice little discussion about them as well, you know, because we have cut down the podcast, so we haven't really discussed too much of the news, but we'll try to keep it brief. And yes, Jade, we did see Ford versus Ferrari. Dan and I really enjoyed it. But yeah, so let's kind of jump in here of some of the news here, and I'm going to kick this off with a game that Dan played. He beat the story mode and did not do anything more after that. And that is Anthem. That is the game Anthem. Anthem has set a new low for BioWare. This was earlier in the year. This kind of kicked off one of the bad things for 2019. Dan, really quickly, what was your thoughts on Anthem when you first played it?
Well, I enjoyed Anthem for like the story part. The story part was fine, but you know, it was like, you know, it was almost similar to Destiny 1, where you know you finish a story, but there wasn't much to do after. I kind of felt more like within that range. So kind of got boring quick just because of that one small aspect. And that was a really big letdown since, you know, me, I was hyping this game so hard, dude. I was so hyped for it. I was going nuts for it every single second, super excited for the game, and kind of let me down a bit.
And then what I mean by dooming BioWare, so BioWare also before that had a failure of a game, and that's Mass Effect Andromeda. That also failed as well. It was a big shame because BioWare has been a great developer over the years. If you've not played any BioWare games, highly recommend Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. It is backwards compatible. Highly recommend the trilogy of Mass Effect. BioWare has made some great games. Unfortunately, they have taken 5 steps backwards, so that was a huge news. Anthem pretty much kind of set the doom on BioWare now, which the developer's in a lot of trouble. They do have another game, obviously, coming out. It's Dragon Age is rumored. They're working on a new Dragon Age. So hopefully that game is a step in the right direction. Obviously, Dragon Age Inquisition was a very good game. But then, of course, the failures of Mass Effect Andromeda at launch with a lot of the glitching and technical issues that it had. Of course, the story did not hold up compared to the previous trilogy. And then, of course, Anthem was a colossal failure. I think they pretty much have abandoned the game at this point, even though there is a rumor that they might be going the Destiny 2 route and just working again from the ground up, or maybe they'll go No Man's Sky, same thing, just a completely different game, but just been just a bad disaster for one of the beloved developing teams, and of course one of the big developing teams of EA, but EA has rebounded, we'll get to that as well, but as our you know, our Game Awards approaches, Anthem is one of the nominees. Biggest disappointment, so it is on there. So I will promote the Game Awards in the chat as well. So if you have not voted, the link will be right there. But that is a big one there. And, of course, others is, let's see here, the microtransactions as well. Still ruling video games at this point. And we'll talk about other games that it has pretty much dominated. But, yeah, I mean, I know Some people say they don't mind microtransactions as far as clothes or cosmetics and stuff like that. But I mean, there's still some sneaky. Did you played Crash Bandicoot, correct? The remaster, the racing game.
Yeah, of course I played it. Yeah, I bought it.
Yeah, there was microtransactions in that in a kid's game, so that's really good for them there. Let's rob kids of, let's have more kids steal their parents' credit cards.
Well, it depends on what you mean by microtransactions. If it changes the game, if it makes you better, if it gives you levels, if it any way impacts your player skill wise, then that's considered a microtransaction at default. But if it's cosmetics, who cares? They're just cosmetics.
So I'm gonna disagree with you. I think that they should be gone, honestly, from video games. I know you're on the standpoint where, well, yeah, you know, it's cosmetics. Let me buy, some cool skins and stuff like that. I think they should just be gone in general. I mean, I take that back. I think they should not be in kids' video games. I don't think they should be in kids' games. I mean, if it's in a game like, a Battlefield.
What about a game that you bought from?
What?
Like, how about the game you bought from, like, Rainbow Six?
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, there's a good example. Okay, so, like, yeah, Rainbow Six, they have some microtransactions in there where you could buy, like, skins and some operator skins and headgear and pack. That's fine. That's not that big of a deal. But certain kids' games, I just don't agree with it. But you could kind of see, my take, of course, microtransactions, I think, for years to come is always going to be a huge topic in the video game community. Obviously, with mobile video games, that's where kind of microtransactions rule the day, where games are free. I mean, you can take a look at the Mario Kart game, which has been a big microtransaction game as not advertised, but pretty much video games, even console games, they have kind of gone that practice. And some games, I mean, in my opinion, I don't even think should be $60. If you're going to just blow the game up with all these microtransactions, why not charge $30 and just call it a day? I mean, that's where I stand on it. I mean, I know you have that opinion as well with the cosmetics, but do you have any other stand on the microtransactions of the world?
Well, I do agree that games are a little bit too expensive. I think $60 is definitely pushing it, especially with the games that have a lot of transaction-based, where you could buy cosmetics or anything in a game. Because those games make a lot of money, like Apex, Fortnite. Oh, Fortnite's free, so that's a bad example. Well, games like Apex, where they make bank on Battle Pass and the cosmetics, I think in that, a game should be cheap for that, within that area. Well, I guess Apex is free, too. PUBG, let's use PUBG. Cheaper games, and go ahead, pump your cosmetics, microtransactions. That's fine with me, but I hate microtransactions. I accept cosmetics, but that's about it. Like, I bought some cosmetics for Overwatch, and I bought some cosmetics for Overwatch, and I bought some for Rainbow Six. So, I'm not against microtransactions, just only if it affects my player and its skills.
All right,
I don't want to buy my way to 100.
Yeah, no, I completely understand. Of course, always the game that obviously stands out with the huge microtransactions and loot boxes, of course, is Star Wars Battlefront 2. And you see the microtransaction landscape with sports games now as Madden and FIFA. I know FIFA was a huge FIFA is pretty much declining. Madden is Madden, but amongst the community where they're, the community, I think, if you're not playing Ultimate Team for a sports game nowadays, there's really no point in buying a sports game anymore. That goes for NBA 2K. That goes for Madden. That goes for FIFA. I know you haven't bought FIFA in a while. I bought Madden for streaming purposes, but I got it at a discounted price for the sure fact that, again, there's no point in buying. If you're not doing Ultimate Team anymore, sports games are useless. They do not upgrade them. They make no adjustments to franchise mode. Did they even do anything for FIFA as far as that storyline mode is concerned or anything like that? I know.
With FIFA, before I jump into that, Jade, actually, when it comes to that, I really thought that games would actually be cheaper these days, especially now that we're going to the all-digital age. I thought games were $60 because they had to manufacture CDs, boxes, and all that. You know, they want to mark that up. But I thought going into the digital age, games will actually be cheaper to buy.
Yeah, I would think, you know what, I would think too. I think maybe as time goes on, maybe when we get to that point where, you know, the inevitable is coming where GameStops are all down, are closing, and pretty much a lot of those mom and pops and the Best Buys of the world are the only ones that are going to have physical copies. Maybe we'll kind of see maybe game prices do decline. But yeah, Jade is also right. You do have to pay the developers. You know, you have to avoid all those lawsuits.
But as far as FIFA goes, pretty much it's they always say they change new things, it being ball movement or player movement and how the kicking mechanics go. They say they change it every year, but it seems like it gets worse every year. So it does look like they try to do some changes, but as far as like feature wise and game modes, nothing is really changed. I haven't bought it, I'm thinking, like 2 or 3 years.
So there's no point. I mean, honestly, it's not worth $60 anymore, because again, you know, if you don't play Ultimate Team, there's really no point in buying a sports game anymore. You know, as I said before, they don't do anything with franchise. I mean, NBA 2K got a lot of flack because they had actual gambling in a video game that is E for everyone. It's a basketball game, and you are promoting gambling, so they got a lot of heat for that. I mean, again, we're going to move on to another topic, though, but my opinion is sports games are just not worth it anymore. If you play Ultimate Team, they're worth it, but if you're looking to play franchise mode or any of the other modes that they offer, it's not worth it anymore. They don't develop. They don't care less about franchise mode anymore, because the real money maker is the Ultimate Team, because a lot of people pay their real hard-earned money to get all those packs and those cards, so it's just not worth it for them anymore. Moving on to couple other let's go to some streaming news, of course. Obviously the big streaming news is, you know, Dan's favorite streamer Ninja and Shroud. They moved over exclusively to Mixer.
Also to EWOT.
Oh yes, EWOT as well. So that was, so there you go. Three new big news is there that Mixer.
Oh, and King did. There's quite a few.
And then I believe the other one, what's his name? He went to YouTube Gaming. Is it Courage? Am I thinking? Is that his name?
Courage.
Yeah. Courage went to YouTube Gaming. So the streaming landscape is starting to change. A lot of the big streamers now, as you saw, Ninja and Shroud and Ewok, they moved over to Mixer exclusively. Microsoft throwing tons of money at them, like, hey, boom, boom, boom. So that put Mixer on the map. And of course, Courage, YouTube Gaming, giving that a boost as well. And then, of course, Twitch still has their top streamers. We're not gonna take away from there. Of course, they still have the Dr. Disrespects of the world. But you know, you broke the news on our Twitter. What did you have any like feelings on that when all those news dropped?
Well, I knew that, you know, people are going to be leaving, you know, Twitch just because of all the news that's been backlashing on them and stuff, but I never expected Ninja to be the first one to jump the wagon. I mean, he kind of seemed like one of those Twitch fanboys, but I was actually pretty surprised, because I like Mixer a lot. I've always liked Mixer. So seeing that Mixer's actually getting their foot further into that door kind of made me very happy. And I was like, man, that's awesome, man. You know, Mixer's now part of that competition, like big time door for streaming. You know, Facebook Gaming is trying to get into it. You know, YouTube Gaming, I'm not even going to put that in there because I don't even watch that. But I think it's awesome. I think great moves for Mixer, great moves for YouTube, taking some big dogs.
Yeah, I mean, we both know how we both stand on Mixer and stuff like that. And it was some crazy news to see that the top streamer, Ninja, moving over exclusively to Mixer, and then Shroud came out, and I really didn't expect Shroud. I actually have personally watched Shroud, and I do enjoy his streams I enjoy his streams more than I do Ninja's, because I can only watch so much damn Fortnite. But you know, It's a big landscape now. Now Mixer put their, as you said, they're put their foot forward, and Twitch are not the top dogs anymore. And then it was just crazy. Do you remember when Ninja moved over? My Twitter feed was, oh, I'm gonna give Mixer, like, people are, we're now like, oh, let me give Mixer a try now. I'm like, Jesus. So all it took was Ninja to move over to get to let you give the Mixer a try.
You know what's funny is I actually was watching, I was actually on Mixer watching Ninja. He wasn't even live yet. He wasn't even going live for like another like 6-7 hours. And there was hundreds and hundreds of people in that chat blowing it up. Like, what the hell? Like, people are watching his stream and they're not even in the stream. Like, people went pretty crazy for it. I think, you know, he's one of the biggest Fortnite streamers there is. So, I mean, I'm not surprised that he has a lot of love, but that's freaking awesome for Ninja. I'm not a big Ninja fan. I have nothing against him. I just don't watch Fortnite, and that's what he mainly streams.
Yeah, I actually scrolled by his channel the other day. He was streaming Dead by Daylight. I couldn't believe it. I did not even know that he owned any other video game. I thought the only game that he owned was Fortnite, which is free. So I was, all the money he has, I was shocked.
Oh, the millions.
Yeah, but That was some news there. And of course, this one here, more horrible news. And, you know, WWE 2K20, I got it for streaming purposes. I think this is the first WWE game that I know that Dan hasn't even tried or didn't even want to try. What a colossal failure. Now, obviously the background is Yuke's has been developing the WWE games for years. They left. They moved it to Visual Concepts, who normally has developed NBA 2K. And this game at launch was playable. That's kind of putting it lightly. But the glitches, this game is pretty much was a glitch fest. Now they patched it, but it's still a glitch fest. But man, everything on social media with this game, with the glitches and. Did you see that one where the referee was like in between Charlotte's legs? And like, there were so many memes. And like, you know what's even bad about the game? Did you see what The Rock looks like?
Or like, yeah, I've seen videos and pictures. Like, oh my goodness.
I get switching developing teams is tough. I get that. But this is my problem. You're trying to tell people that this game is $60. Are you kidding me?
Well, it doesn't even look like they actually tried.
No, I mean, it was bad. It is, I mean, and you know, there's been some bad, and you know, the 2K games have been up and down, right? 2K19 felt like a step in the right direction. You know, ever since 2K took over, it's been very up and down with the WWE games. You know, 2K14 was a very good game. Then, of course, 2K15 was garbage. That game, that was horrible. And then, you know, they kind of felt like they would take a step forward, a step back. But, man, this game, I mean, it glitched on me in midstream. It froze 3 times midstream. I had to restart it.
Yeah, I was watching a lot of streams. I couldn't do it, man. All the glitches I've been seeing in there, I left. I'd rather watch Fortnite at that point.
It was bad, and it's tough, man. Because now the rumor is a lot of people have left Visual Concepts, and obviously this puts a bad, you know, omen on WWE 2K11. Like, is the community even going to be there for 2K11? Because how bad. You thought the Switch version of, I think it was 2K18 or 19, you thought that version was bad with the slowdowns and everything, but no, the 2K20 set a new low for wrestling games. And, you know, I've played a lot of wrestling games, I know Dan has as well, but this honestly is probably the worst wrestling game I've ever played in my entire life.
Bring back THQ.
And I agree with you, man. That was the heyday for WWE games. But unfortunately, they freaking went bankrupt and had to sell their assets. And unfortunately, they sold their assets to 2K. And unfortunately, this is what we're getting.
A load of shit.
Yeah, it's I mean, it was bad, and I mean, I'm still gonna stream it. You know, I still do enjoy doing the universe mode and commentating and stuff, but. It was just what a colossal failure. And even the reviews show it. I think on Metacritic, it's at like the user score is at like a zero. Like it was bad.
Yeah, but they haven't been listening to us in such a long time, man. I mean, what's the point at this point?
Yeah, I know you've been cramming for everyone wants GM mode back, but you know what it is though. I understand really quick. I understand everyone wants universe. I mean GM mode back, but they can do that with universe mode, but they just don't do it right. Like the mode has a lot of potential, but they just can't seem to get it consistent and right. And I think that's what the problem. If they could incorporate some type of cool online GM mode and stuff like that, that would be cool. But you know, unfortunately, they haven't been able to do that, sadly. But that, you know, unfortunate for wrestling fans, and this is what we got to deal with. But of course, more. You know, we'll get to the good stuff in soon, but Ubisoft, of course, after the failures of the Division 2 and Ghost Recon Breakpoint, a lot of games Ubisoft has pushed back, and pretty much now some of them are coming out next gen at this point, and that is Watch Dogs Legion, Rainbow Six Siege Quarantine, and I believe God versus Monsters. Now, Division 2 was okay, but I mean they did everything better than the first game, but the sales were not there for them. And then they pumped out Ghost Recon Breakpoint, which you saved yourself from playing. What a steaming pile of shit that game was.
I pumped in a few hours into it.
Oh, you did? I thought you avoided it.
No, I played. I had to. It's a Ghost Recon. It looked cool.
Oh, well, yeah. Looks can be very deceiving. I mean, they pretty much... I'm happy about this. And I know we briefly talked about this, but we'll touch on it more. I'm very happy about this, that Ubisoft has listened to the community and they're pushing back their games to make sure that they're finished. Because Breakpoint was not finished. Breakpoint was garbage. It was... an unfinished game. It was a boring game. And obviously the Division 2, I enjoyed it to a certain extent. But again, that game was just average at best. But I'm actually happy they're doing this. And it's coming out next gen. So I'm happy about that. Watch Dogs, I was excited for. Once it got pushed back, I was like, okay, good. This gives me some time to finish the other games I'm kind of backlogged on. And now it's coming out next gen. So probably at that point, I will wait till it comes out on Xbox or PlayStation 5 at that point. And I know, did you feel the same way about the pushbacks?
I mean, honestly, I didn't even get to finish Watch Dogs yet, so it's just that made me a little bit happy. I'm almost done with it. But I would rather these games come out for next gen anyways, because I'm ready for next gen, man. I'm ready for the better graphics and the better way of life. So I'm not really disappointed. I would rather them take their time and complete it and make it better with no bugs and better story. I mean, Watch Dogs I haven't even played a bad Watch Dog yet, so that I'm not too worried about. But I would rather play them on next gen anyway, so let them take their time with it and work on those games a little bit better.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think that's what the problem is with a lot of... I think Ubisoft is taking the step in the right direction and having and listening, again, like I said before, listening to the community and like, okay, these games suck. These games failed. Let's push back these games and let's get them right. Let's make sure they're finished and let's get them right. So, and I do agree with you. I am also ready for next gen. It is on the horizon. So, I mean, I'm very excited for it as well with PlayStation 5 and Xbox Scarlet. Of course, we know Halo is launching with Xbox Scarlet, so that's a big heavy hitter there. I wonder, maybe the Watch Dogs game will launch with it. So, I mean, it'd be pretty interesting to see what games will launch with the new consoles. But again, step in the right direction for Ubisoft to push these games back. Let's talk about you were on vacation, so you didn't really have to suffer through this monstrosity, and that was E3 2019. You were away on vacation, so you saved yourself the disappointment. What a horrid E3 2019 it was.
I watched some of the Microsoft when I was in the airport. I remember watching the Cyberpunk and fucking, oh my god. I can't even think of his name now. Cyberpunk and
Keanu Reeves
coming out. Holy shit!
That was pretty much the best thing about E3 2019 was Keanu Reeves coming out. Other than that, the Bethesda conference was a laugh. Ubisoft was whatever. Xbox did not show any gameplay whatsoever. They just kind of showed CGI trailers. And there was no Sony. So, I mean, obviously no Sony at E3. It really was missed. I mean, E3's dying to me at this point. I mean, I just think it's a dying breed at this point. I think that they don't need to do these big press conferences anymore because it just shows that I'm sure they're still going to do it, but Bethesda doesn't need to do a conference anymore because after their very first conference, it has just been declining on how horrible their conference has been. Ubisoft was always whatever, but Sony was definitely missed at E3 this year. Obviously, Nintendo doesn't do it anymore. They do the Nintendo Treehouse. I think that's what they should normally. I think that's what they should do at this point. Start doing some their own like little, not to call them treehouses, but I think Xbox and Sony should do something like that rather than doing these big conferences.
Even Sony's conference wasn't even that. I mean, it had some good. So I'm getting a lot of feedback.
You mean the concerts? Remember we watched it, the live concerts before everything they were showing.
You know how long those were? Yeah. That shit took forever. I mean, that wasn't even that good. I mean, they showed some decent gameplays, but that conference was trash.
Yeah, it was. I mean, yeah, it was rough. I mean, I did like seeing the new IPs and the gameplay, but man, there was no need. E3 2018 was a freaking it was just one big concert. There were so many bands and musical performances, but 2019 was rough. That was a hard one, and you saved yourself the trouble.
Yeah, thank God.
But we will, depending on the dates for E3 2020, we'll be streaming that. But if it's around my 30th birthday cruise, Dan will be the lone wolf, as I was last year.
You had Spoiler or Lone Smoker with you or something.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying like we were gonna, we were gonna have the both Inner Mom's Basement guys together. But you were on vacation, yeah. And next year
I wasn't really on vacation. I was sitting on an airport waiting for my plane.
You were heading to vacation. But let's see. Do we have more? We have one more bad. Actually, we'll kind of combine these together. Crackdown 3, we had a very long wait for that steaming big pile of crap, and I probably played about 15 minutes of it, and I was like, this game, I waited 5 years for this? No.
Peace. I played like 5 hours.
You got that far?
Yeah.
I commend you, man. I only played 15 minutes. I was like, this game sucks, and why, Terry Crews must have needed the money to do this steaming pile of shit.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I did not like it very much.
Crackdown 3. But, yep, that was a big steaming pile of crap, but we'll won't touch too much into that, but we'll get on the last thing. It was very highly anticipated, but unfortunately a disappointment, and that is the Google Stadia. Of course, you could obviously see all the reviews on YouTube and stuff like that. A lot of the reviews I saw was that it works great on the phone. However, if you're looking to stream it, obviously I think through your TV, you need a very powerful connection. And a lot of people, some people unfortunately do not have that, as well as it was advertised as maybe a cheaper, counter for the consoles, but, it's actually a little bit more expensive than it was worth. So there is a subscription to it. And then on top of that, you do have to pay the games for the full price. So the Google Stadia definitely has some good ideas, but unfortunately a disappointment. Dan, did you see any feedback on that as well?
I was actually gonna buy it But I actually decided not to, just because subscription base, and on top of that, having to buy the games was complete trash, man. Like, probably, first of all, you need at least a minimum 15 megabyte connection, and that's if, you know, no one else is using the network in your house, depending on how much bandwidth you have. So you would have to have at least a gig. At least a gig. So it's not even worth it.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at one of the reviewers, and he was streaming it off his phone, and he was like, oh, you know, he was like, you know, surprisingly, from your phone, it actually works really well. But when he was streaming it from his TV, he had a lot of technical issues, and it would, the game would glitch out. But, you know, again, it has some good ideas, but it's just not there yet. I mean,
you want to know what works good for your phone?
What?
Xbox Project X Cloud. Right, that shit works beautifully.
So go ahead. Why don't you touch up on that, since you have your, you're an Android man?
Oh, I mean, there's nothing much to it. I mean, I load up my app. You need your Xbox controller, but now it's actually going to be supporting other controllers, so you won't only need an Xbox one. You just load it up, pick the game that you want. I actually loaded up Outer Worlds on mine, and I was able to play Outer Worlds when I was at work. Well, working. Well, not really working, but I was able to play Outer Worlds at work. I mean, it's freaking awesome. And I was using, I was actually using service, not Wi-Fi or anything, like just actual, like T-Mobile service. And it was running actually pretty well. A few small hiccups here and there, but nothing like completely major. So it worked really well, for me at least. A latency, there was like barely any latency. Like, it was really smooth. I mean, there was some times that, you know, my service got a little shitty because New York, you know, it's how it is in New York. So it lagged here and there, but nothing like crazy. It was still playable.
Yeah, well, that's good. Hopefully it'll eventually come to iOS, hopefully. I would like to play some Project X games on my iPhone.
Worth it.
Yeah, no, it definitely looks like it is worth it. So I'm very excited about that. After the messages, will be right back. So let's get to a couple good news real quick, and that to kind of highlight 2019, and then we will jump to previewing our Game Awards. We won't go over every nominee. We'll kind of highlight some of the nominees and kind of tell you guys why they're on there. A couple good news here. EA definitely rebounded this year. With Need for Speed Heat, we finally got a good Need for Speed game again. And speaking of which, we also finally got a good Star Wars game again after all these years as well. And I'm not talking about just the garbage Battlefront games. Even before that, we had Force Unleashed 2, which was trash. So Fallen Order, highly recommended. Also, it is Star Wars month here as well on Inner Mom's Basement. Of course, go to Inner Mom's Basement shop as well and get yourself an Inner Mom's Basement Star Wars month t-shirt. Right now, we are streaming Jedi Fallen Order for Star Wars month, but definitely highly, highly recommended. Awesome game. And Dan, did you start Need for Speed Heat? I haven't started it yet, but I heard it is really good.
Well, I haven't started Star Wars, but I have started Need for Speed, and I am actually enjoying it. Everything is nice, smooth. Story is decent. Like, I'm having a lot of fun. I'm having a lot of fun playing the game. It's really good, and it's way better than the last few pieces of crap that's came out for Need for Speed. So, but this one, I'm really getting into it, and I'm glad I actually ended up buying it. So,
yep, no, it was good. I heard a lot of good things, and you know, we've been asking for a good Need for Speed game for a while. Like, the last two Need for Speeds have been, you know, utter trash, and then Need for Speed Heat, and again, EA has rebounded. I'm gonna give credit where credit is due. EA has rebounded with Star Wars and Need for Speed. This is exactly what EA needed after all the, you know, Battlefield failure. Of course, Apex Legends has taken off. And then, of course, again, Need for Speed Heat, Star Wars, this is exactly what they needed. Our last highlight of 2019, some news here, is Microsoft Game Pass is continuing to soar, and Sony's PlayStation Now, right now, is still trying to play catch-up. And I think they need to just suck it up and do exactly what Xbox Game Pass does and have their games launch, their exclusives launch with the service. I think this is pretty much where video games are going. You have EA Access. You have that Ubisoft one that's on PC right now. Game Pass is amazing. It's worth it. If you don't have Game Pass, highly recommended. Of course, the new games that are coming out, I think Halo Reach has just came out. The Witcher 3, the complete edition, is going to be on there. Some of the Yakuza games who were only exclusively for PlayStation, some of those are making their way to Game Pass. And then, of course, it for itself, now they have Game Pass Ultimate, where you just get Xbox Gold with it, and then you get the Xbox games at launch. I mean,
and with Ultimate, you also get Game Pass for your Windows 10.
Your Windows 10 as well. Yeah, so, I mean, if you don't have it, it's worth it. I mean, and I think PlayStation Now, yes, they took a step in the right direction, bumping it down from $20 a month, which is horrendous, and they moved it to $10 a month, and then they added God of War, Uncharted, they added some of their popular exclusives, but they're still playing catch-up. They still have a long way to go. Obviously, Game Pass is continuing to soar, and then they even had a third-party game on Game Pass, which is The Outer Worlds. So that goes to show you, at launch, which Outer Worlds was an amazing game, that goes to show you Game Pass, maybe we could be seeing again more third-party games launching on Game Pass. I mean, hopefully, we could see that maybe in the near future, but PlayStation's got to catch up because Game Pass is soaring right now at this point.
Well, I think Blair Witch was third-party as well, right?
Well, now it is. Well, originally, Blair Witch, I didn't even know it was going to be a timed exclusive, but originally, Blair Witch was an Xbox exclusive, but now they're releasing it on PlayStation.
Yep.
But
yeah, I love Game Pass so much.
I mean, but this is where main video games are going. I mean, video games are, it's becoming almost, they're slowly moving towards digital and paying for a streaming subscription. So, I mean, I'm about it. If they're giving me Xbox Gold and I don't have to go out and buy prepaid cards every time, I'm fine with that. So, and I get the games at launch. I don't have to, you mean I save $60 by not, you know, having to go out and buy it? Like, we didn't have to go buy Crackdown. Not that we would go out and buy Crackdown, but we didn't have to.
I think we would have.
No, I would have. What are you crazy?
I think we would have bought it before it came out.
There's no way.
On our list.
I know, but I know we've bought bad games in the past, but no, I don't think so. I think we would have stopped ourselves.
Alex, I probably would do it. I mean, I did buy Fortnite. I'm at a Homefront Resolution.
Yeah, that was a long time ago, though. I did buy Star Wars Battlefront 2. But really quick, one of the breaking news, this is actually breaking news that happened this week, and I hope the rumor is true, and that is Resident Evil 3, the remaster, the cover art leaked. And oh my goodness, please announce this game. Please do it at the Game Awards, not ours, but please do it. Resident Evil 2 remaster was phenomenal, and I hope, and it looks like they're using the same engine for part 3. And the cover art looks absolutely amazing. To hell with Jeff Keighley. He could go fuck himself. And I hope he listens because he could take Death Stranding and shove it up his ass.
Oh, man. I haven't played Death Stranding, so all I heard is that it was a walking simulator, but
I agree with that. You know what? Jade's right, Dan. We should hit up Capcom and be like, look, let's announce this at our Game Awards. You don't have to pay. You don't even have to pay us. Just announce it.
Yeah, fuck it, right? We run our Game Awards. No one else does.
Exactly. But all right, that is some of the big news of 2019. Again, there, you know, not to say that there was a lot of bad in 2019, but you know, there was a lot of disappointments, but. You know, we try to highlight some of the fun and, you know, most of the bad video game stuff that happened in 2019. But a lot of the good, you know, there was some good in there as well. But our Game Awards, December 18th, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time or 8?
Well, Alex, a dev kit. When I saw that, I knew it was a dev kit. But all of these media outlets are saying, "Hey, look at a new PlayStation 5," and everybody's freaking out. And I'm over here. I'm like, "It's a dev kit, you retards. It's not an actual fucking console." Like, everyone's freaking out about it. Like,
yeah, that on, yeah, that I mean, if, I highly doubt that would be the console. It was a freaking U. It looked like a magnet. I highly doubt.
It was freaking huge.
Yeah, I highly doubt that would be the console. But
it's at 8:30 p.m.
8:30. So yeah, this December 18th, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. Our fourth annual Game Awards will be happening. If you did not vote. Or if you would like, if you'd like to send it out to all your friends and family to vote, the link is in the chat. Also, I'll be posting it again in the chat. We have 25 nominees this year, a little bit more. I think not our most. One Game Awards we had 30. God knows why we did that. But
oh God.
Yeah, God knows why we did that. But yep, December 18th, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. We will be doing a giveaway. We'll be having a giveaway as well. So be sure to join. So let's do some. Let's highlight some of the nominees. We're not going to go over every single nominee, but how about this one? Favorite Inner Mom. This is the first time we're doing it this year. Favorite Inner Mom's Basement podcast guest, and one of the guests is in the chat right now. And the nominees are Double Agent Smith, Riley, Who's Your Boy, Jade Princess, and Grom. And whoever wins that award, they will win a special prize as well from us. So that is the nominees for that one. And I loved all of these guests. If you haven't listened to any of these podcasts, Double Agent Smith, if they're on our iTunes or on our Google Play, our Stitcher, and our Spotify, Double Agent Smith, we talk a lot about PAX because that's where we first met him at PAX. Most of these podcasts, yeah, we also talk about how streaming, how they got started with streaming and such. If you want to know about some great indie titles to play, then I suggest you listen to the Jade Princess podcast. She highlights some great indie titles to check out as well. And of course, Who's Your Boy was our returning guest for our 1 year anniversary podcast. He was our first ever guest. Riley, of course, joins
back
us
when we were on Mixer.
Huh? Yes. Yes.
That's when we first started on Mixer a long time ago.
When we first started on Mixer, yes. Riley, her and I discuss her journey to streaming and how she overcame certain things to start streaming. And of course, Grom talks about his soul style of streaming. And all these guests were awesome. And all of them have very great stories on how everyone got started their streaming journey. So I suggest you listen to them. So that is just one of the nominees. Dan, would you like to add on these podcast guests?
How do you make the email like that? It looks so weird. But yeah, oh man, all these. I mean, I was only here for four of these guests. I wasn't here for Grom, dentist. You know, too much pizza. But all these guests were fun, man. Double Agent Smith brought in some really fun, awesome soundboards and fucking shit like that, and you know, we got to talk about how he was sucking on toes. Riley.
Right, so Riley's you were stuck at work, but you were there. And if you've never heard the Dan cameo, Dan's cameo is he pops in, he says fuck Fortnite and leaves.
Yeah, I did. I was at work. Yeah, that was I wasn't actually there either, but I was listening to it. And Riley's one of my favorite people in the world. Who's Your Boy? Goes all the way back, man. I love that guy. One of our first guests. It was an awesome show for our first guest. That went really well. I know we were pretty nervous about having our first guest, and that actually went really well. But bringing them back for the year anniversary was awesome. And Jay Princess is my future wife one day. So even though she's taken it. It's all right, Jade. But I love Jade so much, and she does give out some good indies. So I definitely have a list of indies from her that I need to play.
Yeah, and then also, so here, speaking of which, here is another quick nominee. Here we have the best.
I love you, Alex.
We have the best Jade / indie game. So We have an inside joke, and they are called the Jade Games. So, yep, yeah, they are the best indie games here. And it's My Friend Pedro, The Untitled Goose Game, After Party, Katana Zero, and Wargroove. So the best Jade / indie game as well makes its return to the Inner Mom's Basement Game Awards. Dan, I will recommend the game on here because I actually did play it, and that is My Friend Pedro. I would suggest to get it for your Nintendo Switch.
Oh, it's on Game Pass. It just came to Game Pass.
Oh, really? So I would highly recommend it. It is a very, I mean, the control scheme is very, you got to kind of get used to it, but it is very good.
Yeah, so I actually downloaded My Friend Pedro and After Party since I actually just came to Game Pass. But I did want to try the Untitled Goose Game. It looks pretty funny.
Yeah, no, the Untitled Goose Game looks good. And we are going to be having a special presenter for that indie game there. So, cough, cough, we're not going to say. But we're going to have a special presenter for that. And let's see. Obviously,
did you see O'Reilly put us at one of our top five favorite podcasts of the year?
I did not see that. When was that?
Yeah. Today. She posted it today.
I didn't even see it. Oh my gosh! I was on Twitter, and I did not see it at all.
Yeah, I think it was on Snapchat and Discord.
Oh, in her Discord or SDC?
SDC.
Oh. Okay, I wasn't really in Discord today. I thought it was on Twitter.
Yeah, I thought it was nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's always heartwarming when everybody shows some love to the podcast. It was from Spotify, but you guys were in the top listed. Spoiler's trying to throw rain in our parade here, Dan.
Or Spoiler, I don't see Spoiler talking anywhere.
Yeah, he's in the chat. Yeah, he's talking in the chat.
Oh, I have him muted. Oh. Wait, do I have him muted?
He's on YouTube.
He's on YouTube. Okay. I don't have that chat up.
Yeah, he's on YouTube. Spoiler's trying to throw rain in our parade here because he he ditched us when he... excuse me. But anyway, going back to some other nominees here...
know what? Spoiler does do our graphics, so yes. Shout out to that motherfucker.
Yeah, shout out to Spoiler with the graphics. If he was here right now, I would definitely give him a kiss right on his forehead and tuck him in the bed like I did at PAX
East. Give him a nice toe suck.
No, I would not do that. He only does that. I would actually, you know what? I would stay up all night for him again to wake his ass up to make sure he catches his plane. How about that?
Oh no! With the two fucking drinks in his hand. No, thank you.
Yeah, I will be that guy that stays up all night again. Pretty
watching
much.
Watching Ace Ventura.
Yeah, I got to drive 4 hours the next day to make sure that this freaking drunk got mess wakes up and catches his plane, or else he's stuck in Boston for another day.
What a fun time!
Yeah, but most underrated game. I always like this award because I always feel like these games do deserve some love. The most underrated games here are World War Z, Life is Strange 2, Dan's favorite game, Dauntless. I think this is SDC's favorite game. So if Dauntless wins, I will know why, because everybody in SDC definitely voted for it. Risk of Rain 2, and A Plague Tale of Innocence. So I personally like this award a lot. This has always been a nominee. And I just feel like this highlights a lot of the kind of the under the radar type of games that might not get the marketing is not there, but they are very good games. World War Z, we have played on stream a few times. If you loved the Left 4 Dead games, this is definitely for you. And it's also a third person shooter, so there's that. Life is Strange 2. All the episodes are coming out on Game Pass, so I'm pretty much just waiting until all the episodes are out on Game Pass.
Yes. Huh? I haven't even played it yet.
Yeah, they're on Game Pass, so I've just been waiting until they're finished, and I'm just going to download them off Game Pass. But tell us about Dauntless. Yeah, you and SDC like Dauntless, so tell us about it.
Dauntless is like Monster Hunter, but like a free version. I mean, it was fun. I mean, I wasn't like super into it, but I played it to play with, you know, some STC members because I love them so much. And it was probably one of the only games I could play with T-Raw since he was on PlayStation. But it was a fun time. I used to still wreck some shit. You know, it was just hunt monsters, upgrade. It was just like a rinse and repeat of the same thing. But it was a lot of fun just playing with some of the STC members, playing with T-Raw. I mean, it wasn't a bad game at all. It was quite enjoyable.
Yep. I've watched a couple streams on it. I watched Chaotic stream. I watched Falk stream. I've watched, I forget who else. There was a couple STC guys I watched in there. But another topic that we always, another nominee that we always bring into the Inner Mom's Basement votes as well is the most anticipated game. Now, what that means is the most anticipated game for the following year that are either definitely coming out next year or we know they're coming out next year. I mean, most of these have dates anyway, so we know these games are coming out next year. Cyberpunk 2077, The Last of Us 2, Final Fantasy VII Remaster, Animal Crossing New Horizons, Hell to the Yeah, and Marvel's Avengers. Pretty much three out of the five games I'm excited for. Marvel's Avengers, I am still a little bit skeptical. And Final Fantasy VII Remaster, I could care less. But I can't be biased. So the thing about these awards is Dan and I are never biased with these nominees. I know I went into Jade's Discord, and Jade's people in their Discords were a little bit upset about the Game of the Year choices. And to kind of just touch up on that, Dan and I aren't biased. We recognize games that people are excited about. We recognize games that we, you know, are good, even though we might not have played them. But we show recognition. There's no favoritism in these choices. Hence why Final Fantasy Remaster is on there. Because if I had to choose, it would not be on there.
Same. You care less.
Yeah.
I'm only excited for Cyberpunk, Animal Crossing, and Avengers. That's it. And those two games. Yeah.
Well, Last of Us, you have to get a PS4, but I don't think you're in the market for that anymore.
I play number one.
Well, let's see. What is... And okay, so we'll do a couple more before we end the podcast here. But returning as a nominee is the best horror game of 2019. There hasn't been too many horror games year in and year out, but this one had a lot of them this year. Resident Evil 2, Man of Medan, Blair Witch, Layers of Fear, and A Plague Tale of Innocence. I mean, I played three of these, and again, we're not biased, but Layers of Fear, I know for sure that a lot of people have played it and they loved it. And, you know, I also look at, you know, when we pick these nominations as well, we look at Metacritic scores. We look at all the scores just to make sure we're not picking games that are maybe in the middle or in between. And, you know, we don't want to force a category on the awards. So, you know, this year, we're not having a best Xbox exclusive due to the fact that there really wasn't that many Xbox exclusives this year. So we didn't force the nomination. So we kind of took that one away. I know Dan is shedding a tear at this moment, but I gave him a hug. It is okay.
Yeah, he'll give me something else later at the movies.
Yep. But, of course, one of our favorites, which we, again, came up with, the first one is Biggest Disappointment. Now, we have Biggest Disappointment and we have Worst Game of 2019. Now, the difference is Biggest Disappointment, necessarily these games are not bad games. Like, they're not garbage games. They're not bad. It's just that they did not live up to the hype. And the nominations for that are Ghost Recon, Days Gone, Anthem, Rage 2, and The Division 2. I have played most of them. Rage 2 pretty much was a sequel that nobody asked for. I have no idea to this day why this game was made. Days Gone, I enjoyed it, But the technical glitches, the story being, you know, the side missions being very repetitive, and, you know, again, the mixed reviews is that's why it's on there. Anthem, we don't even have to say why that's on there. Ghost Recon Breakpoint, same thing. I don't think we need to really say why that's on there. So, again, these ones are usually my favorites. And then, of course, our last and final nomination of our preview is the Game of the Year. Now, again, all these games were highly regarded. And no, Death Stranding is not on this list. Gears of War 5, Resident Evil 2, Devil May Cry 5, The Outer Worlds, and Sekiro Shadows Die Twice. So that is just about a taste of our game awards. That will be, again, happening December 18th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, join us. We'll be having giveaways and such. And, of course, whoever wins our favorite Inner Mom's Basement podcast will win a special award as well. But to kind of talk about the Game of the Year is, again, this was all based off of, obviously, we personally have played these. And, of course, again, we looked at Metacritic, the user scores and everything. All these were above nines, so these are the reasons why they're on there. There is no favoritism.
Certainly not, but I'm excited. So go out there and vote. Yeah.
So, yep, go out there and vote. Again, I will put that in the chat there. Dan, anything else you would like to add before we close out?
Are you adding it to the chat? I don't see you adding
it. It's popping up. I'm hitting the thing on my stream deck here.
Oh, I don't think it's working because I don't see it. But
I mean, it's popped up, but it's popped up rather late.
But no, I don't have anything else to add. I think we are solid.
All right, so that is it for this episode of the podcast. Again, join us. I've plugged in a lot. December 18th, Wednesday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, our fourth annual In Our Mom's Basement video game extravaganza. And Dan and I will be in the same building doing it as well. We have 25 nominations. Go out there and vote. Vote. Vote for your favorite podcast guest. Of course, we'll have some award givers as well. I could not get the word out for some reason. We'll have some guest award givers as well. And then, of course, that will be our last podcast of 2019 before we kick it into the new year. And we highlighted, and in this episode, we highlighted 2019. Some of the good, some of the bad. And, you know, it was good.
Yeah, it was good. Good year. It's almost at the end, and then next year, we'll talk about that when it comes, but it's looking like a good year.
Yep, next year looks to be good. We're going to be having some new highly anticipated games. Looks like next year we're going to be kicking it off into the next generation. So definitely we'll be on top of that as well. I am Rage Quit Pat. That is Dan the Pizza Man. You can listen to episode 47 on iTunes, Google, Stitcher, and Spotify. And, of course, again, don't forget to join us, fourth annual Video Game Awards.
Bye.
Good night.
You've just listened to the In Our Mom's Basement, a video game podcast with your hosts Dan Geoffway and Rage Quit Pat. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Google Play. See you in the next episode.